Isuzu revival in California, people started coming to this church, this little church. Horses would bring carriages there without the people even knowing where the horses were going. They were going to this church where this revival broke out. And do you know that that revival broke out from like two or three men who would gather in prayer and pray for revival? The revival that President Trump is related to, where his aunts, I think it was, they are the, where he got that Bible. His Bible was given to him by his mother. She received it from her aunts. Her aunts were on some island in Ireland or Scotland, and they would pray. These elderly, two elderly ladies would pray. They'd get on their knees. They didn't care if they had a crowd. They prayed in their house. They prayed for the revival of God to come. And it's miraculous because the revival came. It came to that building. It came to that island. People still testify about what happened in that place because there were little kids that were there that are still alive. And it was two old ladies. Two old ladies. We don't need a big church to reach God. He says where one or two are gathered in his name, and he said that for a reason. We cannot come and just dry up, right? We got to dig in. We got to dig our heels in. We got to dig our hands up. We got to get on our knees. We got to roll down the aisle if necessary. We got to seek God because it's all coming together and the miracles are coming. The miracles are coming because you know why? They may not have been here for a long time, but they're coming. You know why? Because Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming for his church. The prophecies are telling us. They're all lining up. We know he's coming back. And right before he shows up, miracles are going to break out. It says it in the word. It says it in the word. It says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says that. It says that miracles are going to open up, that the windows of heaven are going to open up and pour down. Well, at the same time, evil rises. It's going to rise up too. So you got to make a decision. What side are you going to be on? Make sure you're on the right side. Because it's easy to be on the other one, the wrong one. And that's what the word says, that so much of the church is going to be deceived. So we want to be on the right side, and I'm going to tell you what side that is. That's the side where it says, those who seek me and seek me with all their heart will find me. And that is the key. So you know what? We die to our flesh. We kick our flesh in the butt. We kick it out. We put it down. We resist it. We take off our proud flesh and we let the Spirit of God come as we seek him, because he will answer you. He will answer you. Amen? Amen. So keep this in mind, and when you go home, when you go about your week, be praising. Put on praise songs. Even if you make up your own in the shower or while you're washing dishes or however, be praising. Praise the Lord. Lift his name up. Lift him high. Don't let the enemy come in and give you all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of fears and all kinds of doubts. Because the first thing the enemy is going to do is he's going to make you doubt who you are in Christ. He's going to make you doubt who you are in Jesus Christ, Which, what does the word say? A new creation. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Satan doesn't want us to believe that. He's going to be like, oh, you're one of the ones that are going to be deceived. You're not a good Christian. Don't even listen to it, because I'm going to tell you, some of the people who feel that they're the worst Christians, it's because they're carrying humility. They have a humble heart. And so if you feel that way, don't beat yourself up. Just come before his presence with singing. And know ye that the Lord, he is God.
To his courts with praise.
Yes, amen. And he'll lift you up. He'll lift you up, amen? So that's why we come together, to practice together and to ask for the revival that God is bringing to this nation and to our homes and to our lives. And we believe it this morning, and we agree together. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen. I was just telling Julie, one of these days we might just keep on worshiping, and people will be like, what's going on? They haven't left the church yet. Where are they? What are they doing? Because the Holy Spirit fell on them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you already announced it, right? Worship practice Friday. What time? Keep your phones on. Well, that's at 4:30 now. That's at 4:30. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Yeah. Early nights. Extra hour of sleep. I know. It's terrible. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And we pray, Father God, for your blessings upon this word, upon this service today. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, our worship was powerful. Lord, I felt the Holy Spirit up there as we were worshiping. I thank you, Lord God, for your promises of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take up an offering. Even though there's few, we're going to still do it because God is faithful, and he promises to be faithful to us as we give cheerfully into his kingdom. And we cannot outgive God, amen. So, Father, I pray that you would bless this tithe and this offering, that, Lord, you would increase in us. Lord, you know what our needs are before we even ask. And Lord God, our needs are great, Lord God. And we just lay all our burdens and cares down at your cross, Lord God. And we're trusting in you each day for our provision. We pray that you would bless us, bless the work of our hands, that you would prosper us, and that we would be in good health as your word promises us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I see Debbie brought the donuts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I know that we are living in these last days. Lord God, you have, Lord God, have been so good and faithful to us, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that no matter what, that we would be good and faithful to you. In Nigeria, we need to be praying for Nigeria and for Sudan. There has been Christian persecution going on dramatically that is absolutely horrific. In Nigeria alone, since 2009, they say over 50,000 Christians have been murdered due to their faith. Reports from other groups say that that's actually over 62,000 that have been murdered since Boko Haram insurgencies began in 2009. The killings in 2025 alone have reached over 7,000 Christians that were reported killed. That's on an average of 32 to 35 per day. Christians being martyred per day. The violence has resulted in millions of people being displaced. Recently, the Nigerian government has faced criticism from international bodies and the U.S. lawmakers for perceived failures, I would say major failures, to address the violence and the inadequacies of protecting the Christians. Also in Sudan, which Sudan has always been a turmoil, but Sudan, for Julie and I years ago, I don't know how many, there was a time through when I was taking my Bible courses through Rod Parsley through World Harvest, when he had the Bridge of Hope, they were actually able to buy slaves and set them free. So Julie and I actually bought 500 slaves. Isn't that incredible? We bought 500 people that were terrorized, being tortured from an Islamic militant group. Now you can buy these people back, and there was a certain window of time. So we donated enough to set 500 people free in this, from the Sudanese, which now is under attack again dramatically. Not only that, since the paramilitant, paramilitant rapid support forces, they have gone on a killing rampage over the key city of El Fashar in western Darfur, which is in Sudan. Hundreds of thousands have fled to neighboring country or neighboring cities, Tuwala, escaping famine and mass persecutions. They are taking these people and they are rounding them up in mass graves, and they are burying them alive. They are burning them. This whole thing started because my wife showed me a little video clip of a Sudanese woman trying to hold on to her three children. While in the clip you would see her jump and cover her ears because they were shooting bullets in the background. You can hear gunfire. We found out that they massacred and slaughtered her and her children. It's horrific what is going on. Persecution throughout the world and throughout the Christians is getting greater and greater and greater. The persecution in Nigeria has gotten so bad that it's caught the president's attention. He is already talking with Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, and telling him to get ready, to be prepared, if these atrocities don't stop. We have this going on and on in Africa. We have our war with the cartel going on in South America, with Venezuela, with a terrible dictator there, Nicolas Maduro. We have already intercepted or have stricken 13 cartel drug ships coming to America. And they're actually talking about starting to strike these cartel drug bases in the territory of Venezuela, in the country of Venezuela, before they can even send them out to destroy the labs. And what they have done is they have saved, what you don't understand is they have saved millions of Americans. They have already saved millions of lives by stopping this drug trafficking business and the fentanyl that's been coming into our country, that's been destroying families and killing thousands and thousands of people. This world that we're living is exactly what the Bible talks about. It talks about how it's going to get worse before it gets better. And it's going to get worse than it is. What's amazing also is, if you don't think it's not going to come to America, think again. Because we are right now on the cusp of having the most radical socialist mayor elected in New York City than there has ever been in the history of this world. I don't understand how somebody who's so anti-American can get elected as a high official in the United States of America, in our country. And it's not just the mayor. We have people in Congress, in the Senate, that are anti-American and want to push an evil agenda. You know, there was a plan years ago. Who was it, the guy that came? Henry Groover was his name, that came here. And they had a plan that Russia had set in motion. This was all that goes back in the 1950s. And the plan was that America will destroy itself from the inside. And that is exactly what we're seeing happening. It is scary. It is unbelievable that we can actually even think of having a person like this elected as a mayor or as a congresswoman or a congressman or a senator, period. All of this reminds me that we need to pray. Jesus told us in Luke 21, 34 through 36, He says, "Be on your guard so that your minds are not pulled, or your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of life. Or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth." That day is going to come for all who live on the face of the whole earth. He says, "Be alert at all times. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." That was Jesus' own words in Luke 21, 34 through 36. Jesus also told us in advance that persecution would come. I'm telling you that persecution is already here. It's already here in America. We're opening the door to it. And I don't hear many churches standing up against it. I don't think we've heard one cry of the church over this electoral mayor and process going on in New York City. I don't know, have you heard of one? I have not heard of any. I haven't heard anybody standing up against this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 through 17, it says this: "Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. I would encourage you to hide the word in your heart. We know the word. We've heard the word from a long time. Some their whole lives have heard the word, have heard the scriptures. To stand on it. Do not be deceived. To stand on the word. Stand on what you've heard. As Paul encourages. Because he says evil postures will become even worse. And that's the day that we're living in. They are deceiving and they are being deceived themselves. See, they believe this deception to the point where they think it's truth. But they don't know the truth because the Bible tells us that they have a veil over their face so they cannot see. They have it over their eyes so they cannot see. They have their ears plugged so they cannot hear the truth. And they go on believing in deception and a lie. Stand on God's word, God's solid foundation. Remember, God knows those who are His. Remember that. Even in the face of persecution, we need to stand on God's word. We have to stay strong. We have to put on the full armor of God every day. But we have to also go out and share the truth in love and with grace, because God has given us so much grace. God has been so gracious to us. We need to share that grace with others and that love with Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 through 13. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer." Think about that. We seek to please Jesus, don't we? Our goals should be to please Jesus. And when we don't, and we fail, and we fall, then we should be quick to repent and get right with God so that we can continue to please Jesus. Because God has called us, and He knows those who are His. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't get concerned or tangled up in civilian life. We got to keep our eyes focused on God, our heavenly life, right? That's what our eternal life, because that's what really matters, our eternity. This life here is just a fading flower. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. With eternal glory, this saying is trustworthy. For if we died with Him, we also live with Him. Amen? If we die with Him, we'll also live with Him. And that's the hope of all those that are being persecuted in Sudan. All those Christians that are being martyred in Nigeria, throughout the world. You know where they are right now? They're crying. They're under the throne of God.
And they're crying out to God, God, when? When will you avenge us? And he says to them, not until the fulfillment of the martyrs has been filled. God is coming soon, and vengeance is the Lord, what the word tells us. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I know this is not an easy sermon, but this is stuff that's really happening throughout the world. These are things that are really taking place in the days that we're living in. And God has promised us a hope and a future that's eternal. So we have a blessing no matter what happens. As long as we stand firm with God, God will stand firm with us. Persecution might come to us. It's going to come at some point. You know, the Bible talks about the mark of the beast. That's going to be coming. They're already talking about the digital currencies and the digital IDs. The Prime Minister of Europe announced it not too long ago. And they want to do it under good pretenses to protect those that are theirs, to protect their wealth, to protect their income, to protect their identities. To make health care much easier. It's going to make life easier. It's what they're promising. But it's telling you, it's not going to make life easier. Might make it easier in this world, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not going to be in heaven. God says that all those that take part of the mark of the beast will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's harsh words. And that's going to be harsh when those times come. But we need to be prepared now. You know, the big thing about being a soldier in Christ Jesus, or the big thing about being a soldier, period, is being mentally prepared. If you're mentally prepared for what's coming, then it's not going to take you as a surprise. You'll be able to be strong. You'll be stronger. You won't panic under pressure when the pressure comes. Amen? Just remember this. God knows all those who are His. That's in bold letters in my Bible in 2 Timothy. We have this promise that God will never leave us, never fail us, or forsake us. And God, just as He charged Joshua to be strong and courageous, we too are being charged to be strong and courageous in the days that we're living in. We're living in the end days. And the end days are not easy. They're not pretty. But we have what we call a hope in Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding. That we are standing on God's words and His promises. That He will always be there with us. And He promises this in the Gospels. He says, I will be with you always, right to the very end. So we can have peace even in persecution. Because of God's Holy Spirit and His presence with us. That we don't have to be afraid that this life on earth is temporal. Anyways, if you get persecuted for Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're right there in the throne room of heaven with God. Immediately, in a blink of an eye. That's the greatest place to be. Is in the throne of heaven with God. Amen. So we need to be praying, constantly praying for all those that are being persecuted, that they would stand firm in their faith, that they would be strong and courageous. And pray that, Lord God, that they would be able to be set free and delivered from this persecution. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this day. Lord, I pray that, Lord God, that we would stand on the ground,
on the solid ground of your word and on the sure foundation and on your promises, and that we would remember these promises, that we would not be caught off guard, Lord God, that we would be ready, that we would be mentally prepared for anything that comes, Lord God, that our families, Lord God, would be mentally prepared, and that, Lord, we would be able to stand. Strengthen us, Lord God. Help us. I pray for those that are being persecuted, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, help them, give them the strength that they need. I pray that those that are persecuting, that they would be shaken and they would stop immediately in Jesus' name. And that, Lord God, your angels, Lord Jesus, would intervene in these situations, Lord God. And that you would open their eyes to the truth, Lord God. That you would deliver these people from this evilness that's going on throughout the world, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I pray this, Lord God, and I thank you for each person here. I pray your blessings upon them. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, that you would help us. Open our eyes to your word, Lord God. Lord, I pray for a strong desire for reading your word. I pray for powerful prayer lives for all of us, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father God, for your angels to minister to us and that you would watch over us and protect us and keep us safe. That we would be able to just, Lord God, be under your covering. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is good all the time.